Here we go with the second of our two exclusive KGEZ Good Morning Show drill downs made possible by Dent Magic, the Valley's leader in less invasive car repair, to Washington, D.C., and Bob Costantini.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, John and Robin. Let's see. Today, in Arizona, the Vice President of the United States is going to Tucson, and she will be taking part in a campaign event that was actually planned a couple of weeks ago. However, she is stepping right into a battleground state that is at the forefront of the abortion politics controversy with this. And she will be saying, here's a small sampling that the Biden-Harris campaign has put out. This is a campaign event, so it's important to point that out. But she's going to say, here in Arizona, they have turned the clock back more than a century on women's rights and freedoms. The overturning of Roe was a seismic event, and this ban in Arizona is one of the biggest aftershocks yet. We all must understand who's to blame. It is the former President Donald Trump. It is Donald Trump who, during his campaign in 2016, said women should be punished for seeking an abortion. That's a reference to an interview, by the way, that Trump did in 2016 with it was MSNBC, and when he said that there should be some punishment for a woman who seeks an abortion, and he declared in that interview, and as he had done on the campaign trail in 2016, that he would only appoint justices to the Supreme Court who would seek to overturn Roe versus Wade. So the administration, but more importantly, the Biden-Harris campaign, taking advantage of the fact that the vice president is supposed to be in Arizona anyway today. And on top of that, they have just bought a multi-million dollar ad buy in the state of Arizona alone, dealing with this Supreme Court ruling that we talked about earlier in the week. It came down on Monday that said an 1864 law regarding abortion, it was a Tuesday, as a matter of fact, but an 1864 law regarding abortion should be the law of the land in the state of Arizona. It would supersede what the legislature did in 2022, which was put a 15-week ban or limit, however you want to put it, a 15-week limit on getting an abortion. So they're jumping right into it. And again, this takes away a lot of what else might be in the news. This particular topic is taking away a lot of what might be in the news otherwise, which is inflation. The stock market is troubled by the latest inflation reports to end this week, but also the border crisis that you probably won't hear the vice president mention when she's in Arizona, but maybe she will. I don't know.
Well, that's a state that's directly affected by the sure. border crisis right now.
Yes. No question about it. And she was given the border portfolio by President Biden, a very difficult portfolio to have to deal with the recent surge, the significant surge, and the crisis that all of this has caused along the border, but of course in inland, in Democratic cities, where a lot of the migrants have wound up, whether they were bused there or whether they went there themselves, and how those cities in particular have been trying to handle this surge of migrants that have come up to the southern border seeking asylum in the U.S., being allowed to remain in a lot of them, and because of the belief that the President Biden's administration was going to be much more welcoming than a Trump administration would be, and it was, and would be again.
It's fascinating to me, Bob, that all as many years as I remember watching Supreme Court confirmations, every one of them was asked, and they all agreed that Roe v. Wade was established law. All of a sudden, it isn't, and the majority of the court voted against that.
And the president in advance said he was only going to put forth justices who wanted to do away with it.
Yes. Well, that was up to the voters in the end.
Yeah.
That when he was campaigning, he made that clear. He used and did appoint some of the justices that were approved by conservative organizations, the Heritage Foundation in particular, and other legal representation organizations that approved of that list that he had. So in a sense, that was up to the voters to make that decision. Yeah. Perhaps a lot of those voters who may have, we harken back to suburban women once again, a lot of those suburban women who decided that they wanted to vote for Donald Trump because for whatever reason, because they lean Republican to begin with, some of them may have regrets with that. But in those confirmation hearings, John, to your point, though they said it is precedent, it is the law of the land, they never vowed, they never took an oath that they wouldn't overturn it, and they did exactly what, in the end, abortion rights advocates were fearful that they would do, but also what former President Trump had alluded to that they would do, and those are the kinds of justices that he would appoint to the court. There was obviously hope on the part of a lot of abortion rights activists that one or two of them would not be willing to go so far as to overturning Roe v. Wade, and that they might, in that Mississippi case where they eventually did overturn Roe, but that they might be willing to accept the 15-week limit that Mississippi had in place initially that brought about that case before the Supreme Court. But in the end, the conservative justices, including Samuel Alito and Clarence Thomas, decided that they wanted to set a whole new precedent, if you will, and turn the matter back.
Okay, just real briefly, Bob, to refresh our memory, somebody brought the lawsuit before the Supreme Court, and then they ruled on it.
Yeah. It was actually a doctor's group, conservative doctor's group that opposes abortion, brought that Mississippi case to the Supreme Court with the hope, not necessarily the expectation, but with the hope that at least some limit could be put in place, but with the underlying hope that the court would use the Mississippi case as a Dobbs case, as it's known, as a way to overturn Roe as a precedent. And that's exactly what they did. And of course, we heard about the pending ruling even before it actually was delivered because it leaked out. I believe it was Politico that published it ahead of time. So, it was a shock in a sense to perhaps a lot of people. I don't know. But perhaps it wasn't a shock to a lot of us who know the makeup of the court necessarily. But Chief Justice John Roberts was hoping that he could prevent the conservatives from having their way with overturning Roe entirely.
Yeah. Well, now this afternoon, House Speaker Mike Johnson has been summoned to the Hill.
Yes. former President Trump likes to say that in the end, they all kiss the ring, and Mike Johnson has previously kissed the ring, so to speak. But today, this is an important meeting for Johnson, perhaps more important for Johnson than for Trump, really. What they are doing is they're going to have a news conference or something they're going to announce at Mar-a-Lago today. Their topic is election integrity, and this will be about either needing a new law so that people who are in the country illegally or people who are in the country seeking asylum, who are non-citizens, should not be allowed to vote. Now, you're going to ask yourself, generally, isn't that already the law of the land? And of course it is the law of the land, and it's the law in just about every state, except for a few cities that from time to time have allowed migrants to vote, even if they aren't citizens. But it is the law of the land. And what they want to do is bring together this notion that, remind people that millions of migrants are in the country, either legally or illegally, and that they're going to be Democrats, they're going to line them up to vote in November, which isn't necessarily the case, of course, but it brings together two of the favorite issues of Donald Trump and two of the favorite issues of Republicans in the House of Representatives, especially, and it will cast their attempt is to combine those two to cast doubt on whatever happens in the 2024 election. There's no question about it. This is the start of casting doubt on that, the outcome, if Joe Biden wins the election. And Mike Johnson, of course, as we know, is in trouble, perhaps with Marjorie Taylor Greene or anybody else. But Marjorie Taylor Greene is a devoted acolyte of Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump calls up Marjorie Taylor Greene and tells her to back off this motion to vacate the chair, the same sort of thing that got Kevin McCarthy ousted, then she might very well do it. And we'll see. But also, Donald Trump is not going to probably push Johnson to go ahead with aid to Ukraine, which is what Marjorie Taylor Greene says would very well trigger her to bring this motion to vacate the chair to the floor. As I've said before, there's a good chance it wouldn't even succeed among Republicans, but Johnson doesn't want to count on Democrats to save his speakership, too, eventually. So those are the dynamics at play at that meeting in Mar-a-Lago today, and they're supposed to come out. It'll be about 4:30. It's scheduled for 4:30 Eastern time. They're supposed to come out by the door where Mr. Trump has made a number of public statements in front of cameras. So maybe they'll take questions, maybe they won't. We don't know for sure. But it's more important, I think, for Mike Johnson, because he will bask in the glow of standing next to Donald Trump as far as the House Republican Conference is concerned, guys.
Bob, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
Thank you. Talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. And the Trump criminal trial starts on Monday. So, once again, we'll be focusing on the former president and his actions from, alleged actions from 2016.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.